It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking the conversation of where it is that we find hope. Now, I know in the book of Peter, it tells us to always be prepared to give a gentle explanation for where it is we find our hope. But sometimes, as things, you know, continue to maybe look a little darker, depending on, you know, the perspective that you hold or your worldview, things can kind of seem a little out of touch and a little out of space. And it's sometimes hard to find that hope. Jeff?
Let me ask you a question. Because usually you ask me a question. Let me ask you a question.
Flipping the script today. All right.
So we don't normally ask it or discuss it in these terms, but let's do it today. How do you feel about the current state of things? And I know that we all got the kind of yo-yo thing going where it's up and down, but if you tried to find like a baseline.
How do I feel about it?
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about our country. I'm talking about world issues from the standpoint of there's a potential likelihood we're about to go to war.
Does seem to at least be on the brink of happening.
There may be a draft, right? Like our kids may be going to.
Well, they did just pass that bill that both women, men and women from ages 18 to 26 are kind of like automatically registered.
Congratulations, women.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's what you wanted.
There is no sex anymore. It's just whatever you feel like.
So. A man's a man and a man's a woman.
There you go.
And there is no difference, but there isn't. So, so whether you're talking about the next pandemic, whether you're talking about the next, I don't know, what's the next shoe to fall from a moral standpoint? You know, what we're watching is not us as a nation or even a world becoming better and better and better as technology increases. We're inventing new ways to be evil.
I think, I guess how I feel, just 4 short years ago, we were kind of told all of these things were going to occur. Some people believe that. Some people didn't believe that, which is understandable. I mean, compared to how, you know, we had been living for the prior several decades, what we were told was very contrary to, you know, what we would have ever imagined happening, right? I mean, if you'd asked somebody 10 years ago, hey, do you think the stuff you're seeing today would be happening? They tell you you're nuts, right? But now we're seeing it.
Yeah.
And I think as a result, there is a lot of darkness, but I like the quote, it's always darkest just before the dawn. And I think as a result of people actually getting to see what they were told was going to happen is now happening is a great eye-opening and awakening experience for a lot of people to realize, like, man, we got to turn this thing around. And it's quickly becoming too late.
Yeah, there was a guy who said in his campaign speech, we're fighting for the soul of our country. I think his name was Brandon.
Oh.
And right, and he was right. We were. I think he was fighting to destroy it, but that's my opinion. But we have always been. And every year you keep hearing, this is the most important election ever.
Yep.
And I think every time they've said it, they've been right.
Well, that's just, I think that's exactly it, is each year, when really how you want to look at it, I suppose, is the most important election ever, because they're either furthering an agenda that if you're awakened to, you want no part of, or to the contrary of that, if you're on the other side of that spectrum and you are about that agenda and for that agenda, you don't really want the other side to put roadblocks into the agenda that's trying to be furthered, right? So either way you really look at the equation, the same statement is true in that each one really is the most important.
I'm trying to find a way to say this. I'm still trying to form this in my mind, so bear with me. Maybe you can help me hammer it out, but I'm trying to give an analogy that people could identify with. The country's a lot like a giant school bus. Every so many years, we vote for a new bus driver. And it kind of matters because no matter which side of the bus you're sitting on, whoever that bus driver is taking you wherever you're going. Painted in the red, white, and blue. What we all know for sure is this bus is the best seat available. Now, you can get off the bus anytime you want, but where you're going to get dumped is a neighborhood you don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Or on a different bus you don't want to be on.
Right. Yeah, that's it right there. The value systems that you hold on your side of the bus, in the end, you can hold them all you want, but you're still going to that destination.
Based on whoever the driver is.
Right, right, right.
And I think, according to that analogy, it makes all the more sense as for people who are not on the bus. why they would maybe in some cases want to buy access to it to influence the bus. Or now, I mean, to even further the analogy, it's like we've stopped at a rest area. We've opened our doors and invited anybody and everybody who may have been at the rest area to just come on board, even though there might not be room on the bus. We'll just, you know, we'll cram you in here. We'll stick you on top of somebody else. We'll make it work. No questions asked. We don't need to know, you know, where you've been, what you're coming from, what your intentions are. It doesn't matter. Just get on the bus.
That's right? Funny. In the American bus, you know, there's laws and there's regulations and two to or three to a seat, you know, and
you gotta be quiet at the railroad tracks. Right?
But now there's donkeys in the middle of the aisle. There's people sitting on other people's laps.
People throwing stuff from the back.
They're sitting on top of the bus or hanging off the sides. You know, mm-hmm. there's it's just chaos, and the paint's chipping now. And you know, we're not sure where the red from the paint and the red from the rust start and finish. You know, it's like, huh? Which one's which?
And some cases, you got to ask yourself, does the driver of the bus actually love the chaos? And I know that sounds contrary to actually driving a bus, right? But if you think about it in the direction of, you know, when we all got on the bus, we may have been told our destination was point A, but through the midst of all the distraction, the bus driver is actually driving to point B, but nobody realizes that we've, you know, changed directions and we've deviated from the map that we were actually intending to travel.
Okay, so here's another leg in this whole situation. The bus driver is not just anybody that you want to pick. There's only a group that have been specially trained for driving a bus. And so you can only vote for what?
The elites?
Well, yes, they are the elites, but I don't know what the hierarchy is for bus drivers. But whoever owns this bus that we're all wanting to be on, the bus driver you're allowed to pick isn't just anybody. It can only be one of their bus drivers they've already trained. You know, and they've already agreed and signed contracts. They're going to make these things a priority and obey these laws of the land and swear an oath over here or there, you know, all those things. And also, they're going to maintain the interests of the company for which they work.
What about that one bus driver that snuck in?
And stole
the bus.
That is the wild part. See, there was this weird election where somehow this guy snuck in who didn't have bus driver training. And he never sworn allegiance to the institution of all buses. And so
it was almost in some way like a person came from the back of the bus.
Yeah, he was.
And took the wheel while the bus driver got off.
Yes, he was actually one of just the passengers. And somehow, I guess the system let him in to be considered, not thinking he would ever be chosen.
It's like he had watched the other circle of drivers long enough to kind of know what they were doing, see how turn the ignition, get things started up, and he knew enough to sit behind the wheel and take off with it.
But what it seems, if you follow this through, what the organization that determines bus drivers has said, you know what, we can't let this happen again.
No, I think you're right. I think the company per se that owns the bus has decided we'll flatten the tires on the bus and set it on fire before
first.
We let somebody else yeah. that's not a part of our bus driver committee behind the wheel again.
The reason I'm asking this, because I mean, we could talk about it from the vantage point of the bus driver. We could talk about it from the vantage point of our currency, wars, disease. You pick a subject, right? And it's not very good. In the midst of this horrific storm we are in, the question is this: why do you still have hope? Right? What is the tether that is keeping you from jumping out the window?
How about this? This is a meme I came across on social media yesterday, actually. So perfect for this this question. And it said, "Here's my list of the things that keep me in faith, or basically keep me strong and steady with all the chaos that's going on." And it just said Jesus Christ. That was the end of the list. Yes. And I thought, well, I mean, when you actually think about that, that's pretty accurate as far as like that is what keeps you strong and steady, and that is what gives you hope. Because anything that's of this world that may offer you temporary hope in some instances. I'm not saying there's nothing that, you know, doesn't, there's not, there's obviously there are good leaders, there are good, you know, people who show up and do good things in certain situations. So, I mean, I have hope in that too, but my ultimate hope being in Jesus is in that that's the one thing that, you know, is never going to let you down.
Yeah, that well said.
Everything else is eventually, I mean, I let myself down. So to think that I could constantly count on another person to never let me down right. seems pretty silly, because I can't even count on myself to do that, right? Right,
absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's perfect, a perfect way to look at it. And I don't know if that list, were the other things that you have hope in, where they cross through before you get to Jesus? Like, because that's what you come to, is that there's plenty of things that you can choose to be positive about. Try and have a positive spin or feel good. Or, hey, you could take a substance that will make you not care. Whether you drink it or pop it or inject it, there's something you can take to make you just not care.
Comfortably numb.
But that's not hope. That's just indifference. So as a believer, I think, you know, we kind of get picked on for this. We just say Jesus is the answer. And they're like, oh my gosh, they roll their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Cliche.
But, yeah. And it almost comes across that way, but it truly is our answer.
I agree. And I also would say, like, sometimes I do struggle with indifference, and meaning that not that I don't care, or that, like you just said, that makes the situation go away. It's just sometimes, man, it's overwhelming. It almost becomes unbearable of a, sometimes indifference just feels good in the moment. I'm not saying it is good, but I have understanding for the feeling of indifference sometimes does provide almost a numbing is probably the best word for it, right?
If you've ever broken a bone, you know this, you get a cast. And the cast isn't fun. It changes how you shower, how you eat, how you walk, how mm-hmm. you, everything, that, your normal routine's all jacked up. And you have hope because you know it in 6 to 8 weeks, this cast is coming off
and my bone's going to be repaired.
Right, repaired, and then you can begin the healing process of rebuilding your muscles and so forth. In the same way, it's like that. It's like I'm on this bus and I see the rust bucket and the cesspool it's become. And while I'm disheartened by the reality of what that means and the suffering that it inflicts,
sure,
I also understand that this bus was never meant to last, and it won't.
And I kind of think, too, to continue playing off that analogy, is it's almost as if some people on the bus have realized, like, hey, we were supposed to be on map A, and we've transitioned to map B, but it's like a kept secret that you can't share on the bus that, hey, no, we're not going the wrong direction. Everything's fine. So it's as if you're watching, I know on, map B, there's a point to where we're going to drive over a bridge that doesn't exist and we're going to fall right. into the water. Some people that are on the bus don't believe that. And the bus driver's telling you everything's fine. That's not going to happen. But then there's some people on the bus who know for a fact it is going to happen because they've seen the direction. They've driven the route.
There's those people who say, don't say anything because you're going to jinx us. You know?
Yeah, then it will happen.
Or you're going to give us a bad mojo, right? Don't talk about bad things that could happen if we drove over a bridge that isn't there.
Instead of, like, if you flip the script on that and we said, if we talked about bad things that could happen,
right,
we may prevent bad things from happening.
Crossing a bridge that's no longer there is not going to end well.
Yeah, like the, that's like if you were trying to drive over the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Right. Probably not good.
This isn't a boat. It looks like one, but it doesn't float.
Well, I mean, nowadays, even the boats run into bridges. When you're not even on the bridge, you're just in the water.
It's, you had to do that. You had to do that.
I know. Man, you know what's crazy, though, about these events of when we see these, like, catastrophic failures or shutdowns, meltdowns, however you want to consider them? Somehow, we never have the answer to what happened. It's like, hey, people might have been warning us that something bad could have happened, but we didn't listen, and now we have no clue what took place somehow. Every time.
The narrative is, no one ever saw this coming.
Yeah, and you're just like,
and some are going, really? Wait, what?
Nobody did?
I was over here screaming, waving my arms.
Yeah, like nobody saw it, huh?
No one could have possibly foreseen this could have happened.
Could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
Huh.
We just didn't know. You know, all of our analysts, that's all they do all day long. They just couldn't see it.
And then now we just can't figure out who was responsible or what happened.
We can track any phone, any conversation, whatever, yeah, in the
we
world.
We know the last time that you used the restroom
right.
and what you were doing.
But we can't figure this one out. I know the bus is not supposed to last. And I got to keep reminding myself of that because I'm like everybody else. You kind of forget. We've all got our places where we live, right? And I think the hard part to remember is there are places that we live, but this isn't our home.
That's true.
And if you can keep that straight, I think that that puts things in a frame where no matter how bad things are, listen, or how bad they may get, this is temporary.
I would completely agree, but I would also, to kind of offer some pile on to that, if we actually lived our lives with having hope in Jesus, does not make us perfect people?
Right.
Even people of faith, they want to pretend, though, I'm perfect. I believe in that. Get on out of here.
I've made a mistake in my whole life.
Yeah, that's the most nonsense. The only difference between me and somebody that lives in the world is that I tell you that I'm imperfect and I know I'm in need of a salvation.
And I'm trying to get it right.
And I'm trying to get, exactly. I try to get it right, but I know I fall short. But I don't judge you for falling short because I know I'm the same.
Right.
But if we lived our lives with hope in Jesus, and our mindset was, if I made a difference for one, and that one made a difference for another, our bus may not last forever, because, you know, Jesus is coming back, according to what we believe. But that doesn't mean, in the meantime, that we can't keep our bus in great shape, potentially improve it. And even if it comes down to it, and the bus is worn out, and we're all in good spots, and good spirits, and good fit, we might get the opportunity to get a new bus.
Right.
It doesn't mean we're changing the standards, the rules, the morals of the old bus. It just means we're going to get on an improved bus and continue driving in the direction of prosperity.
Well, we're hoping to, right? And I think that's a good point, is that what we don't want to do is become like those fatalists to say, well, it's temporary, so who cares what happens to it?
Right. Might as well drive it fast and hard.
Right, and just wreck it now, right?
What are they saying? Here for a long time, but a good time?
Right, right. And what we just discussed in a previous podcast, what we're here for is God's good time, right? God's a good God, and let's find his good time. But there's no reason why we have to increase the temporary suffering. There's no reason why we can't improve a bad situation and make it better while we wait for the best thing to come.
And in fairness, biblically speaking, how many times throughout the Bible do the people who bring judgment upon themselves, and I'm not talking as individuals, I'm talking about as a nation.
Nation, right.
They do it to themselves every time. It wasn't just like, you know what, God decided one day
I'm going to be mean.
I'm done with this group of people. You know what? They've been living accordingly, but I'm just done with them. That's never how the story went. It was always the people lost their sense of direction. They were immoral. They started to do disgraceful things. They had false gods. They had false idols. They were sacrificing their children. The scary thing is, though, is when you start going through that list, how many of those things are we doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when I say we, I'd throw myself in that too. I'm not sacrificing my children, but I've made false idols. I'm a glutton at times. I know I've been a drunkard. I mean, so to say that I haven't been a part in casting the judgment upon us is silly. Well, I know I have.
Back in the day, they called them emperors. Today we call them presidents, but the office is very similar. Many of them run on campaign promises to murder children.
And who feeds from that energy?
Well,
who feeds from the energy of child sacrifice?
Aren't you glad this is just where we live and it's not home?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got to keep that straight. Doesn't mean that you can't improve the place you live. In fact, you're called to, but our hope isn't even in where we live. And our hope certainly isn't in our bus driver. Our hope is in the destination that our King, our coming King, will one day take us when this bus breaks down. And take us to be there.
And I know we don't consider it this way, but when you read the biblical stories of sacrifice of, you know, children's child sacrifice to basically false gods, it sounds more fantastical in the story that you read, right? Because you think of it, well, they took their kids up and they put them on this altar and they burned them there and sacrificed them to this big, you know, statue of some sort. Well, we don't do that today, do we? Well, no, we just go to clinics.
Well, we do it before the child can ever scream because there's no air in their lungs yet.
And then we allow those parts to be harvested and sucked out and just spread about, all because they're a blob of tissue.
Well, let's not forget that a lot, even in the old Jewish sacrificial system, what was sacrificed was given to the priest to eat and consume.
Mm.
It hasn't changed.
That's my whole point, is that we think, wow, we're so much better. We're so much smarter. We're so much civil. More advanced. We're so civil, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But yet, we're doing the same things.
Yeah, we just do it with a different veneer. We're more efficient. You know, it's a little faster. When in the abortion process, you know, we're very selective in which limb we take off first. Mm. You know, it's like the whole saying, if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it? Same thing with the abortion. If you can't hear the child scream, ugh. Yeah, you put it in those terms and it's like, wait a second, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Well, we're letting ourselves be indifferent about the temporary state that we're in, that we're living in, that we call our life. And we're letting evil go unchecked.
And I think that many of us have also fallen into these categories of, well, I don't do that personally.
What difference could I make?
What difference could I be? And instead of thinking more of a big picture of, like, if we allow this immoral downslide to continue happening, it's not going to stop until it is stopped, first and foremost. And second off, when that judgment comes of an immoral society that God's just decided needs, like, he's had enough, judgment's coming upon it, we're all paying for that.
In the temporary bus drive that we're on, what you got to remember is how God told us it's going to end. Eventually, the children being sacrificed and the wars where we destroy innocent lives as well won't be enough. They'll begin killing the people on the bus. Mm. Jesus said, had he not come back, he talks about when he returns, like it's already happened. He can already see it. So he remembers the future like we do the past. And he says, had he not come back when he did, no flesh would have survived.
Mm.
That's how evil this coming system will be. In other words, when Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, but what happens when the salt loses its saltiness? And again, what he's talking about is not your taste. He's talking about the preservative effect, yep, of what salt does. But when salt becomes, they used to like put in sand and different ingredients, sure, to kind of water it down, if you will.
But when it loses its saltiness, preservation, yeah, quality,
its ability to preserve, what happens? It gets trampled by, sure, men. And his whole point was, when we fail to be the people he called us to be, the end result is this: we will be trampled.
Mm. I'm not saying we're at that point yet, but can you see that happening?
It's on the menu.
Mm, it sure is. It's definitely on the menu. And the folks on the other side of that equation, if allowed, are absolutely going to order and eat it.
So we're on this podcast telling you that we're fighting, and that's why we're talking about it. But if we as a nation vote to take the bus in the direction of greater evil, you know, we'll scream the whole time there, but we have hope, because while I live here, this isn't home.
And I think with, maybe in closing, as much as the world loves the spilling of blood, bloodshed, I feel like, the once again, historically speaking, biblically speaking, they align. It always has loved the spilling of blood and bloodshed. You were given the spilling of one's blood, that, mm-hmm, being Jesus. That is enough to cover the spilling of everyone's blood. We don't need to spill blood. We've already been given a covenant with the Holy Spirit. So you just got to take it.
Better covenant, and it's coming. And it's been offered to all who would receive it, and it only comes through Christ Jesus.
Amen. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. And remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
You're listening to Blindly Obvious.